I soon found the time coming on for more money to be paid, and though my creditors were very quiet and took no notice of my debts, I was more concerned than they, for I knew that my salary at that time was not sufficient to pay my outgoings in rent, taxes, fire, clothes, children's schooling, provisions, and other things that occurred in the family. The time was come again for me to go to London to supply for a month, and a heavy burden I took with me, all my debts standing right before me and unbelief testifying that I should never be able to discharge them. And though the Lord has so many times appeared for me, and that he never would again, for I had abused his mercies in such a way in that I had quite wearied him out. Oh, how I sank into despair and feared it would soon be all over, and for I was sure and confident that if God had given me up, it was all over. Oh, the tremblings I had when I got to London, for fear the Lord would stop my mouth and that I should not have one word to say, for I had been shut up publicly in the pulpit twice and obliged to sit down before all the people, which is no small mortification to the flesh. At least I found it so. And I was by this taught that if God shuts, there is none that can open, and if he opens, there is none can shut. Oh, the blessing that those shutting up times have been to my soul. God has overruled them hundreds of times to my good, to keep me a little child at his dear feet, to supplicate his dear majesty, that he would not leave me alone, and here I have been obliged to weep, cry, and pray by the hour, that the Lord would open my eyes to see, my heart to feel, and my mouth to speak, and that he would accompany the truth home to the hearts of the people, that he might be glorified. When the Lord's Day morning came, I went feelingly sensible that if the Lord was not there, it would be nothing but an empty sound, and reach no further than the ears. But bless his dear name, he gave me the door of utterance to bring out the things I had tasted, handled, and felt of the good word of life. And I believe the Lord gave testimony to the word of his grace that quite revived and comforted my drooping spirit, and my poor soul was encouraged to cast all its burden upon him that had promised to sustain me, with a sweet confidence that he would yet provide and bring me through every difficulty to the honor of his name. But when I came to look over my debts with my large family and every appearance that I should sink deeper and deeper, oh, I sank fathoms in a moment, especially when I began to think what numbers of tongues were uttering east, west, north, and south of Trowbridge, what a character I must be to take £3 a week and live like a gentleman, while many of the poor members could hardly get bread, and some were wondering however I could have the face to speak against covetousness whilst I was taking £3 a week. Sometimes when I was sunk in darkness and unbelief, I felt such speeches very hard. But oh, the blessing that these poor creatures have been to me in the overruling hand of a covenant God, and oh, the times that God has made them the means of bringing my poor soul to the searcher of all hearts. Often in my feelings have I fallen upon my knees and opened my very soul, and begged him to search me and try me and show me if I was guilty of these charges. For I knew that he was a God of knowledge, and that by him actions were weighed. And I knew that I had a wretched, deceitful heart that had deceived me many times. So my very soul has cried out with David, O Lord, search me and try me. My heart is naked and open before thee. Am I robbing thy poor children of their temporal bread? Am I a covetous man? Am I deceiving others and deceiving myself? O Lord, make it known to my heart. And what a sweet and blessed answer that I receive from these words. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, Oh, how that word rejoiced in my soul. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatever we ask we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:20-22. Oh, what peace, love, and joy did I feel to the God of all mercies! And from my heart I could pray for my enemies that were watching for my halting, that God would in tender mercy, if it were his blessed will, open their eyes and hearts to see and feel the love, mercy, and grace of a covenant God. Poor, dear things, they have been the means of sending me many times to the Lord with many sighs, groans, and tears, and my dear Lord has received me in loving kindness, and giving me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that in the end I have had no cause to complain or be angry at them for their hard speeches, for I am confident it has all worked together for my good. Oh, how my soul could plead with him, as a man pleadeth with his friend, that he would be with me in my visit to London, that his dear children might reap spiritual things, and that God would put it in their hearts to communicate carnal things, that I might return home with those temporal mercies that I needed, and such sweet liberty of access had I to God in pleading for them, that I was quite lost in wonder, love, and praise, and promise upon promise flowed into my soul with such power and sweetness that I could not doubt that God would supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, what a mercy it is, and that the dear, tempest-tossed, afflicted children of God have a God to go to, and that as heaven, earth, and hell, angels, men, and devils at his beck. What must my poor soul have done had not this been the case? I know not. The devil tried hard again and again to bring me to look over my debts, and how impossible it was that I should have gifts that would be needful for me to move on at Trowbridge. But the Lord strengthened me by his spirit in my inner man, so that I was enabled to trust in the Lord and leave it in his hands, and I found and proved my God to be as good as his promise. For the Lord did indeed cause his doctrine to drop as the rain, and his speech to distill as the dew, for the hearts of the people were opened, and their pockets too. I have ever found that the way into the pocket is through the heart, and when all other refuges have failed me, my eyes have ever been in my calamities to look unto him that can make the way through the heart. For he saith, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his, and the gold and silver are his. Then, if my soul prevails with him to move the hearts of those to whom he has lent plenty, to communicate to my necessities, what is that to anybody? When I came to finish up my visit to London, it was truly heartbreaking to my soul to see the liberality of the people. Nay, the last night I took my leave of the people, they loaded me with presents. Just before I left the vestry after preaching, a person came in and shook hands with me, and asked me if I should be sending to Mr. Gadsby when I got home. I told him, and that I intended to write to him. "Well," he says, "I owe him £5 for books. Can you send him the money for me?" I told him yes, if he wished it. He then said, "Here is a ten-pound note, and tell him that Mr. So-and-so hath sent the £5 which he owed him for the books and that he had of him." And added he, "Accept the other £5 for yourself." Oh, what a blaze of glory shone in my soul of a prayer-hearing, wonder-working, promise-keeping God. And what a night I had of blessing, thanking, and praising his dear name. When I got into my bedroom, I counted up all my money, and found that I had sufficient to help the old wagon out of the ditch again. Oh, I fell upon my knees with the money before me, and I blessed, praised, and thanked my God while I had any power either of body or soul. David and the congregation of Israel could have had no more joy when he exclaimed, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Oh, how my soul rejoiced! I wanted no one to tell me that it was my duty to love, praise, and obey God. For I felt it in my heart that to love, praise, adore, obey, serve, and please God was my meat and my drink, and to be negligent, careless, and indifferent was my grief and sorrow. I am a living witness, and that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance, whatever some professors of religion may say. Oh, how I longed for the time to come when I could tell my dear wife what the Lord had done for us. Had I wings like a dove, I should soon have been there. When I arrived home, what a sweet time we had in seeing the good hand of God, and that had gone before me and had provided so richly the things we so much stood in need of. Truly it was a melting time indeed. It was better felt than expressed. I was not long before I divided the spoil to those it belonged to, and it was just in time, for I thought some of my creditors began to feel a little impatient, and it just answered the end, so that I could get on again wonderfully straight for me. Oh, how my soul could pray for the best of blessings to rest upon those dear souls in London who had received spiritual things from such a poor worm as I, and had so liberally communicated carnal things. The very remembrance of them was dear to my soul, for they were the very means in the hands of a covenant God of keeping me at Trowbridge. Whatever some people might either think or speak about my great salary, God knows that I tell the truth. Oh, what a mercy I have found it hundreds of times to have a God to go to that knew secrets and would judge righteously. How many times have I wondered how it was that there were some ministers that had a larger salary than I had, and not half the family, who were never so spoken against. But I saw that it was not the salary, but the truth that I preached in its own native simplicity, without wisdom of words of man's devising to soften it down to the palate of proud empty professors, to whom it was the ministration of death unto death. This enraged them sore, and as they could not overthrow the truth of God which he helped me to preach, they would have a smack at the large salary. But blessed be the Lord, he knew what I had better than they, and he knew all my needs and necessities, and thanks be to his dear name, I never had a need yet for one thing, but in his own time he has supplied me with it, whether it had been for body or soul, and I believe he will to the end.